I'm on page 13 of the manual. We're starting now the preliminary considerations related to this great subject. If you haven't looked up these verses, then I would urge that you turn off the tape, take your Bible and look them up, and very carefully read them and meditate on them. And then, when you have done that, then turn the tape back on and let me explain this to you. I have this under the title, capital C, The Practical Solution to a Successful Christian Life, Faith and Love, and what faith and love, of course, entail. We have to realize that we not only have certain goals in living the Christian life, and that, of course, is only one overall goal, which is the glory of God. The Bible not only tells us the reason why we ought to live the Christian life, that is, to the praise and the glory of his name, as Paul repeatedly emphasizes in Ephesians 1, but there are certain methodological approaches that the Bible gives us. And by methodological approaches, I mean particularly the biblical concept of faith and of love and of hope. Now, in this area, I'm not talking particularly about hope, but I'm talking about faith and love and some of the facets that this entails. Notice I have a number one on page 13, the biblical concept of faith. So let me work on that for a moment or two. I have the statement here, it's not enough for the believer to know about the provision God has made for his daily life. He must know how to appropriate that provision and how to put this into practice. The verse, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's, of course, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. There are many, many verses in the Bible that have to do with this matter of believing God and what that means. Now, it's very important that we understand that believing God is not something that I do just with my head. It has to do with my will, my choice. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to believe God when we do not feel like it. We don't have to feel like it to do it correctly. Faith is essentially, as I have here in the observations, and I'll take this up in a moment, faith is not a feeling, but a decision. It's a choice to take God at his word and to apply the word of God in practice. Not just to say, I would like to believe, or I wish it were better, or wouldn't it be great if it were better. It is the matter of taking God at his word and practicing it no matter how I feel. Well, there are some passages that I'd like you to look at with me. Take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew 8. Now, here in the 8th chapter of Matthew, we have this fine illustration about the centurion. Now, a centurion, as you remember, was a professional soldier representing the Roman government. At the time when the Lord Jesus was upon earth, of course, Palestine was a satellite of the Roman nation. And they had a standing army there to maintain that submissive relationship to Rome. The Jews hated all of that, grant that, but nevertheless that was the situation. So here is a man who represented the Roman government. This passage before us in Matthew 8 is a good one to start with in our attempt to know what the Bible means by faith. Notice in this 8th chapter, in the statement of verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, this passage illustrates a characteristic that we considered in the last lesson, that Christianity is personal. Now, here we have a relationship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, incarnate, to this centurion. Here's a very personal relationship. And the man asks that the Lord Jesus would come. And the Lord Jesus offered to go. And then the man, of course, develops the thought that the Lord Jesus didn't have to go. He could say the word only. And he explained that, that he was under authority and he could say to the people under him, do this or do that, and it would be done. Now, by that, we have a tremendous illustration of the meaning of biblical faith. That is, faith is an understanding of the authority and the power that God has. Now, this man, as a soldier, understood delegated authority. He understood that Jesus Christ was the representative of God and that he only needed to say the word. And the Lord Jesus commended this man and said he hadn't found so great faith, no, not among the Jewish people. That this Gentile understood that faith as the trust in a person and the trust in the ability of a person and the believing that the person would, in the saying of the word, that the healing would come to his servant, that in that the man was expressing genuine faith. Well, now that's a clear explanation to us of what really faith ought to mean in your life and mine. It is highly personal. It's not our trust in the church. And it's not our trust simply in the Bible, but in the living Word who stands behind the written Word of God. It's the trust in the Word of God. And of course, it's the matter of accepting and the practicing of that word, the believing of it and the putting of it into practice as we trust God. Well, there are many, many other verses that I've listed here, and as you know, there are dozens of verses like this in the Bible. For example, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, as I'll take up in a moment here, here's a matter of mixing the word of God with faith. Then, of course, we have the great passage in Hebrews 11. Now, turn with me to that passage. In Hebrews 11, we have a tremendous statement, a series of statements about the meaning of faith. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. This has been called the faith chapter. It can just as well be called the works chapter. Now, you know from James that you can't separate the two. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. The two can never be separated in the life of the genuine believer. And before I read these verses, notice the tentative definition of faith that I have here in the middle of page 13. Faith is the response of the total person. So it has to do not just with my head or my emotions. Faith is the response of the total person to God as a person. Now, I have found that to be very important in my life, that I'm trusting a person. Let me stop there for a moment and illustrate it. You know, it's not unusual for us to trust our lives to a person. When we go to the doctor and he says we need some sort of a shot, what do? We trust him. Here this man is pumping a whole series of chemicals into our bloodstream. Well, now, we allow him to do it because we trust him. We trust him as a person. Now, how much more God can be trusted as a person? And, it's not just blind trust. It's trusting God on the basis of who he is and what he has said to us. And then as the definition goes on, faith is a response of the total person, that is my total person, to God as a person in loving submission. Well, I can't trust him when I can't express faith when I'm rebelling against him or not willing to do the will of God. It's loving submission and it's trust that is doing the will of God, trusting him. And obedience, putting the word of God into practice, in and through the person of Jesus Christ, as the revelation of God and Redeemer of mankind, who as the sovereign Lord offers himself to the believer through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Scripture as his daily sufficiency. So faith isn't something isolated from all of the other facets of Christianity. It's intimately related to it. And here I try to explain that in this tentative definition of faith. Now, basically and fundamentally, a very simple definition of faith would be taking the Word of God and putting it into practice in the attitude of submission and trust. Well, I have some observations about that, but notice now in Hebrews 11, a very important statement. Hebrews 11 explains to us that faith is particularly a decision. Now we have, for example, in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now we understand from this that Abel had to make a decision to do the will of God. God revealed himself to Cain and Abel, I'm sure Adam and Eve as well. And Abel had to make a decision to do this, to take the word of God, that is, in its unwritten form, whatever form it was that came to them, and take the word of God and put that into practice. Now Cain did not do that. Abel did, Cain did not do it. There was a decision that had to be made. You notice also in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, that is, taken to heaven, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How important that we understand that Enoch had to make a decision. He had to take what he knew was the word of God and practice it. Now that grew out of choices, priorities that Enoch had to make. The same thing is true for Noah. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had to make a decision, in spite of what was happening about him, that it had never rained, and that the other people were not doing it, to take what God said to him, to believe God, and to build the ark. Now that was a momentous decision, and he had to keep practicing it day by day, for all of those years, in the building of the ark. That was faith. By faith, Noah worked. By faith, Noah decided. By faith, Noah made choices. Same thing in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You can see him day by day, as the other verses state, 9 and 10, just sojourning on. Didn't know where he was going, but he knew that he was going in the direction that God had pointed for him to go. And when he got to Canaan, God said, this is where I want you to stay. Abraham journeyed by faith. It had to do with making a decision to do the will of God and then carrying it out in a whole succession of choices and decisions. I tell you, this is placed in the Bible for your admonition and mine. This is what it means to believe God and to trust God. And then, of course, the great passage in the 11th chapter of Hebrews about Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now here we go all down through these verses about Moses and his life. You notice that in each one of these verses about Moses, we have a word that states it was a decision. Now what word would it be in verse 24? Notice there in your Bible. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what's the word that indicates the decision of faith? Well, it is. You know what it is. It's the word refused. He refused. Now, there's some things in your life and mine that we're going to have to refuse if we're going to be people of faith. Verse 25, look at that verse. Now, what word in that verse would indicate the decision of faith? Well, you see it already, right? The very first one, choosing. So he made a choice to refuse something, then he made a choice to choose something, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now that's an indication to us of this great truth in the Bible, that faith is a decision to take the word of God and put it into practice, trusting God. Well, notice verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what's the word in verse 26? Well, you see it. It's the word esteem. That's the choice word. That's the word of decision. He had to esteem. That is, he had to recognize that the reproach of Christ was more important than the the riches of the treasure in Egypt. He made that estimation. He established that priority. That is the meaning of faith. Another one here, by verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, what's the word there that indicates choice? Why, it's the word forsook. Now, if you're going to make progress in the Christian life, there are some things that you're going to have to refuse. Some things you're going to have to choose. Some things you're going to have to esteem, rearrange priorities. Some things that we're going to have to forsake. We may have to forsake a relationship with a person, or a job, or an activity. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, what word in that verse, verse 28, indicates faith and the decision of faith? Yeah, you see it. It's the word kept. Kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. What's the word in that verse? The word passed. They walked through the Red Sea with the water towering up there on both sides. Well, now, that wasn't an easy thing to do. Why, would I take my family down into the towering walls of water? I'd never seen a thing like that before in my life. It was an expression of faith, a choice, a decision to do the will of God. You see that these verses in the Bible remind us, as I have here under the observation right in the middle of page 13, that faith is not a feeling but a decision to take God at His word and to act upon it, act upon it. We say, as Bible-believing people, that we believe so much, but we act by trust on so little. That's part of your problem and mine. Are we really people of faith? Then under number two, I have here some observations about the characteristics of faith. Faith has readily discernible characteristics. For example, a minimal list would be submission. That is to God and His work and His word. How can I trust God when I am working against Him and I'm not willing for Him to do His work? I can't. My attitude of failing to be submissive or obedient to God would erode away the strength of faith. Secondarily, I need to practice faith in obeying the Bible. How can I trust God to supply my need when I choose not to tithe and to sacrificially give? I need to obey God. And then, of course, trust. Dependence upon God to fulfill His word. This isn't blind trust. Not at all. It's a trust in a person who's given me His word. Now, I have no problem trusting an honest friend when he gives me his promise. I trust his promise because I know he is my friend and he's honest. And therefore, I trust him. I depend upon him. How much more do we need to do that with God? Thirdly, faith has a person as its object, the true and the living God, like it states there in Acts 16. Where the Philippian jailer said, what must we do? And Paul and Barnabas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How important it is that we understand that. Believe on God. Number four, faith is a context, which is love, in Galatians 5:6, where the Apostle Paul, in interpreting the problem to these people who were in the province of Galatia, in those churches, and they were having difficulty in the Christian life, reminded them that in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that's Jewish formalism, legalism, that neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Now, uncircumcision would be the emotionalism of religious experience. That was very prevalent in that area through the Dionysian cult. That in Jesus Christ, neither Jewish formalism or legalism would avail anything nor religious emotionalism. But what does avail? Avail to bring the grace of God into one's life. Faith that works by love. Think of that, works by love. I have here then under number four that for faith to work, one must have genuine love. Love and faith are mutually dependent. Oh, look up all the verses in the Bible on love, and in the context you'll find faith. Look up all the verses in the Bible on faith, in the context you'll find love. They're mutually dependent. This is why, as I state here, it is so difficult to exercise faith when one is out of fellowship with God. How can you exercise faith when you do not love the Lord? It's very difficult. I want to tell you. You know that by experience, and so do I. And here it is right in the Bible. Number 5, faith as a basis, the Bible. So faith isn't just something now that I want God to do for me. It isn't. The content of my faith is not just that. It has to be rooted in the Bible. What has God said to me? Now, if I have a need in my life, I need to root it and ground it in the great promise there in Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your need. Now, I need to qualify what I trust God for on the basis of the promises of the Bible. That's very important to understand about faith. There are a lot of people who miss that great point. They have the idea that any kind of a thing that they really want, if they would believe God hard enough for it, God would have to give it to them. That's hardly what it means to trust God. God wants us, as Hebrews 4, 1-3 states, He wants us to mix the Word of God with faith. The faith has a basis. It's the Bible, the Bible. Well, these are great verses. I have here then D on the bottom of page 13. And that is the steps in a decision of faith. What do you do when you're really having a problem in your daily life? What do you do when you exercise faith? Well, I've tried to write this out now. I make the statement here at the bottom of page 13. Number 1, the basis of these steps is found in 1 John 1:9, where you know the verse, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I have the statement here, though often one has a need to exercise faith in regard to some specific sin. It's therefore necessary to learn how to make a decision of faith, and the following steps would illustrate that decision. Now notice on page 14, I try to work out the individual steps. Now say that I have a problem in my life. Say, for example, that I have some sort of a sin I can't get rid of. First of all, I have to face myself. Am I willing to confess it as a sin? Okay, now if I qualify there and I'm willing to do it, then what about step number 2? Am I willing to forsake it as a sin? I mean forsake it. If it's a sin, what can I do with it? I must forsake it. Now you may say, well, how can I do it? If I could, I would. Well, that's where faith comes in. Forsake it by faith. Now, notice the next point. Believe God that He will forgive and cleanse you. Now, the word cleanse can be interpreted or paraphrased, deliver. The inner cleansing is what we need. Now, when we have a problem in our life that we can't resolve, it's because we haven't been able to receive the cleansing. It still has a control. What God wants to do when we confess our sin is to cleanse us. That is, break the power of that habit, that sin, in our life. Now we need to believe God that He will do what He says in the verse. He will forgive and then He will cleanse. We need to believe God. Under D, we need to receive Jesus Christ as the specific cleansing that we need. And be very, very specific about it. Now if I have trouble with anger, now what am I supposed to do? Number 1, confess it as a sin. I need to forsake it by faith. I need to believe God that He will break the power of anger in my life. And then I need to receive Jesus Christ as my cleansing and deliverer from anger and be very aggressive about it. Then under E, I need to believe, and I mean by this practice. Practice God's word and live as the cleansed person that you are. Now I believe that if I had a problem with anger and confess that as a sin, forsake it, believe God, and receive Christ as the cleansing, that I need to believe just cold turkey that He has come into my life and that He has performed in my life what He said in 1 John 1:9 He would perform. Now, whether I feel like it or not, whether I see any manifestation to begin with, I need to believe God. I ought not to test God on the basis of my emotions or my experience. God's word is true in spite of what happens to me. So I need to take that and put it into practice and live as a cleansed person. And as I do that, believe that when I get into a situation where I would be naturally angry, that God will be there to maintain the cleansing. And I need to live with that perspective, trusting God every day, very vitally and personally, for the freedom I need from my anger. Well, what does God promise? I have it here under number 3 in page 14, the promised result, forgiveness, cleansing, and then freedom to live for God. Well, I want to say to you that this is the first illustration of the practical solution to a successful Christian life. There is no possibility of living for God in doubt or unbelief. And there is no possibility of living for God, a genuine, authentic Christian life, unless we are aggressive in learning the Word of God, the promises, the commandments of God, and learning how to make decisions of faith, like we have read here in the Bible, particularly in Matthew 8 and Hebrews 11, and to make that very aggressive and practical in our own life. I'm just going to have to say that I don't think this is easy. It's very difficult to do, but it's worth it. And it's the Word of God. We have to be about doing it. We have no right just drifting on in the Christian life, just lazily slipping along in the Christian life, wishing that things were better. That's not the way to do it. We've got to be very aggressive about taking the Word of God and putting it into practice. Now, how necessary it is that we do that. Now, I'm just about to the end of this tape, this lesson number 5. I hope you've been able to see yourself in this lesson and make a practical application in your life. Well, I need this. I'm not embarrassed about that to tell you that. I need this and you need it. And we have to realize that he's called us to live a life of faith. And that verse that the Lord Jesus gave when he said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Well, we can make a personal application of that to ourselves today. Are we living by faith? Hebrews 11:6 states that without faith it's impossible to please him. What a defeat we bring into our Christian life when we fail to be aggressive about this matter of faith and mixing the Word of God with faith. Now, I don't know how you read the Bible, but you ought to read the Bible by faith. Oh, it's been my attempt down through the years. But as I read the Bible, I try to do it aggressively so that when I read a commandment in the Bible, that I claim the ability to understand it and to do it. I trust God to teach me and to show me how to obey the commandment. Today, when I read a promise in the Bible, I ask God to help me to understand its ramifications, what it means, and to warm my heart toward it. And then I choose by faith to believe God and claim the promise for that day. Now, we need to do that. God is worthy of our trust. He is a God absolute in truth and love and holiness. And what he has said is the truth to us. And we need to take God and his word and mix the Word of God with faith and put it into practice in our lives. Well, these are important verses that are before us. Right here is where many of us fail. Now, we need to make the choice that we will not do it, and not be the slave of our emotions. Too many times we get up in the morning, we're not feeling very well, haven't slept out our problems, and we wish things were different during the day, and we're hesitant about going out into the day, and we covet a little bit, and we don't particularly want to get into the Bible or settle down to pray. Well, now, are we going to allow our circumstances and our feelings defeat us? I should say not. We need to make decisions of faith and choose to get into the Word of God and to pray and to be aggressive about living for God in spite of how we feel. Well, what great promises are given to us. We need to trust God. May the Lord bless us and help us to understand that. Amen.